Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
what's going on with group 11 in the periodic table. So group 11 is your copper, silver, gold, rotgenium. Rotgenium is a unstable artificial element made. Its major benefit is to the people who made it. It's got sort of no commercial benefit whatsoever. But what's going on with those elements? And before I go too far, I suppose there's certain things I have to do is talk to you about the periodic table, and then I'll talk to you about the sort of flat atom and how irritating that is and how it's misguided so many people. So the periodic table has 118 elements in it. I won't recite them now. I might recite them on another thing. And it's got seven periods, and it's broken up into four blocks, the S, the F, D, and P blocks. The F is the lowest energy, then F, then D, then P. And so, in general, electrons, when they're filling up, for each proton you have one electron you can go in, plus, this is the showstopper, in general, you can fit N plus one electrons into an atom. This is again quantum mechanics. So if you're taught by a simpleton, you will be taught that a proton is effectively will hold an electron, and they will not be able to imagine or do the maths to explain the fact that most elements can actually hold an extra electron. Now, not if an electron's in the room, it's not going to go over and find it. But if you have an extra electron pushed on into the element, it's a bit like pushing something into a holder. It gets pushed in, and chlorine is the maximum. And that pushing in an extra electron is called electron affinity. That is how much I want to eat an extra electron. And so this is this bizarre thing, is that the elements eat an extra electron. And this, again, will trick you up that it's not taught at school. Now, I've said S, F, D, and P. Well, there's a whole series of things. Surely it's S, D, and P, and F's underneath. Well, that's only a something for the convenience, whereas the saying, claiming that the number of electrons and the number of protons are the same, is for the convenience of teachers. Saying the F block is underneath the periodic table is convenience of printers. And let's put the convenience of these other people who really get their value in life is to teach, and their value in life is to print. And the value that we want you to have in life is to be able to do some chemistry. So there's 118 elements. So that's 7 by 2 S blocks. Six by 6 P blocks, 10 by 4 F blocks, 2 by 14 F block. And going in, that gets up to 118 individual elements. But in deference to the printer's version, the printer version is there's 18 groups. So the school version is that there's 8 groups. The printer's version is there's 18 groups, and the hard-nosed version is 32 groups, but no one does that. You go with the printer's periodic table. 11th in your D block, that bottom sort of the mattress of the bread, if you imagine S block as the base of the bread, D block is the actual bed, and P block is sort of the pillows at the back, at the top of your bed. So It goes 2, 10, 6. 11 is your group 11 is 1M. Now, what in general happens is that I myself now am just confused. I think people believed the I just can't describe the confusion and stupidity of stuff I've seen at school. I think people have said that it's the filling of the shells is 2, 8 or 18, and this really confused that they're going these shells, which is sort of like a mishmash of the principal quantum number and the angular momentum quantum number all sort of mashed together. So the shell is your principal quantum number, which is the amount of radial nodes there, and you can have 2, 8, 18, 32, 50, I suppose, 50 electrons in the various shells, and those shells is a combination of some S, some P, some D is in your shell coming across at that one shell, because it's talking about the principal quantum number that your two going across. Now, these elements this is copper, silver, gold and ruthenium are elements who, in the face of things, declare their quantum mechanics to the world. And what has happened is they've stood up there and said, we are not of the classroom. We declare ourselves to be quantum mechanical atoms, and we have a behaviour which respects quantum mechanics, which makes us the coinage metals, the greatest metals on Earth. And what's happened is that this has been seen as fake news, and various textbooks have misreported them and said indeed they are no more than normal everyday elements. And so when I say that, the various textbooks put an electron configuration where it's for it. There's 2 S and 9 D orbitals filling it up. It's one short of a complete D orbital, and you see that in the textbooks, and you see it on dare I say, dynamic periodic table. So there's this website you go to and type in dynamicperiodictable.com, click to there, and you go up to orbitals, and at orbitals you go along and press copper, silver, gold, ruthenium, I suppose you can do ruthenium, and it will tell you that there is 2 S electrons and 9 D electrons, because they're stupid, and they're stupid because people want to suppress the fact that these are elements which sort of have walked away from the crowd of the other elements to say that they're quantum mechanicals. Now, what they actually do is these elements, the filling the D orbital is such a powerful gig that it actually borrows an electron from the S orbitals. So these elements, the gold, the copper, silver, gold, ruthenium, going down the thing, have a S electron. So to start off with, hydrogen's 1s, helium's 1s with 2 opposing spins. Then it's lithium beryllium is 2s, sodium magnesium is 3S, potassium calcium is 4S, so that 4S electron is actually ripped off by the, was it 3D? Yeah, the 3D, is that 3D? I've got to really put that in my head. No, it has to be 1D, the D shell. I have to mentally get into my head the actual principal quantum number of the shell. So the actual electron itself has a principal quantum number is, and I just have to remember what the principal quantum number is. I think the principal quantum number is the number of nodal lines that cut across. So a D, would that be a 2D? So 4S, 2D, 9. So in that last group of two orbitals, so there's five orbital pairs which can be put together. And so it's 1, 2, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, 10. It wants the electron so much, it actually rips itself off. And so it actually starts to behave like potassium. So copper has got thing, and it is this amazing thing that the S shells are generally lower than the F shells, because in that shell, even with the radial stuff, they can actually get closer to the proton. Essentially, an orbital is of lower energy. If at the end of the day, the nodal lines mean that there's a more electron closer to the electron, to the proton. So this is your energy of a orbital, is that orbital size and shape where the nodal lines cut. The more you cut the nodal line through, the more you push the electrons away from the central orbital. So if you can imagine, if I want to reduce the amount of electrons in the center, amount of the electron in the center of the atom, if I put a nodal line straight through it, cut through it, I've actually pushed, created a zero there, and so I've actually created electron density a little bit further away. So these elements break the 10. They are an exception to all the Hund's rules. They're all the exceptions to everything taught at school, and the way that that's generally taught is that the mistake is in the textbook, the mistake's on the website, but the mistake, fortunately, is not in nature, meaning that copper has this 1s, this 4s electron. Now, what's so important about this is that these 1s electrons don't orbit the nucleus. That is, if they nothing orbits the nucleus, but there is a quantum mechanical analog of orbiting the nucleus, and this is, it's got a shape. And I can say, if the shape has got sufficient radial lines across it, when the complex phase goes through it, it's as if it is rotating. So if I have a complex shape and it's not radially symmetric, it will have no orbital angular momentum. That's when the complex phase runs through it about the z-axis. Now, the d-shell electrons, the d-shells, which is the one radially symmetric one, which is the let's go through the d. You've got the dz, the D don't know. You've got the DZ, I suppose it's DZ squared, DZX, DZY, the DXY, and the X squared minus Y squared one. You've got all those. The one which is symmetric about the Z-axis has zero angular, orbital angular momentum. That is, that electron is actually physically in our universe no longer rotating around the axis. It's got a total angular momentum, but its projection on the Z-axis is zero because it's symmetric about the Z-axis. And it's going through. So the old bitch of school of a little ball and like the doggy track or a racehorse running around the outside is not correct. Now, so what this means is that if I have a complete D shell and a single element, a single electron in the S shell for these things, so they're the exceptions. So copper, silver, gold, organium are the exceptions to what you've taught at school. And the exception means that it's one electron there has no orbital angular momentum. All the orbital angular momentums can have all different projections possible, and you fill up every electron, so all the projections add up. And so there's no net orbital angular momentum. And the spins, which is the actual equivalent to an electron spinning on its axis. Now, it can't actually do that. It has got the property of spin. There's no actual component. There's no small electron which is spinning. And there's no part of the electron you can mark with spin, but it has the property of angular momentum. The only thing left in this is the lone pair electron, and it has spin, which is positive or negative h bar on 2 to minus h bar on 2. That's its momentum there. So the great thing about these elements is that like iron, most elements are paramagnetic. It's got spin. That spin can be oriented to it. It's got an unaligned electron spin. The electron is held slightly within the atom. It's got bound. It's got more bound electrons within it. So, in essence, it's not as reactive because the electron, its access to this electron, this valence electron, is nicely held within it, and then it's got high conductivity. It's all these things, and it's got a net angular momentum of the of plus or minus a half h bar there for these things. So these are special things. It's got its conductivity. Now this electrons being on the outside, the binding electrons being on the outside, is for gold, but it's and it's also determines how these things go into glass, how they react and colour glass, create colour centres in glass. So they go into glass and they're not bound. So if you add gold powder to glass, it takes this beautiful ruby red glass. It's got gold powder in it. Uranium, if you put transition elements in glass, not transition, the lanthanides or the hidden elements in glass, the F block in glass, they also form a bonding. There's sort of bonds, but the actual electron inside is there's an electron transition inside which is not bound. So this often happens that you can put these metals in glass and it's as if it is a gas because the glass is bonding to one set of elements and coupled to it. So if it's bond, it changes the energy levels, obviously, if it's bound, but it's sort of got bonding energy levels and optical energy levels, which allows these things to behave as if it's a gas. So you can have a helium neon laser, which has got gases in it, or a xenon xenon fluoride, XEF laser, or anything like that, where it's gas. But you can actually put these metals in glass, and the actual metals behave as if it is gas. It's a very fascinating thing. So there I go. I've tried to set to a certain degree, a certain amount of surety. Let me repeat it once again. In the periodic table, there are a set of elements, and the set of elements are easy to understand. It's copper, silver, gold, organium. These elements are misreported in every textbook I've looked at, in every website I've looked at like dynamic periodic table, and it reports that electron has 9 D shell and 2 S. What it actually does have is 10 D. It's got a complete D shell, and the S is removed. The S is removed, leaving a something with zero angular momentum. It's spherically symmetric. It's around the Z axis. But it's got a naked spin there. So this entire silver or gold atom looks as so for all the world like a pure, I suppose, a hydrogen atom. It's everything else cancels out, and it's only got one exposed atom. So unlike hydrogen, is where you could split a hydrogen beam through a magnetic field. You can actually do it with a silver, copper, or gold. I'm not going to say what kind of beam. You can put that through, and the great thing about this is that this beam, when it goes through, at the end of the day, it sticks and builds up as a layer. So you run it for an hour, the molecules don't have to be detected, they can be picked up. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.